Good morning. God is good. And all the time. Welcome to St. John's United Church of Christ as we gather to worship on this beautiful spring day. There should be the guest register should be there in the pew. If you have not signed it, please do that and pass it down. Give us that contact information. So we welcome everyone who's here and as well as those who are online. Most of the announcements, except for all the prayer stuff that's in the bulletin every week, is on the insert. And so you'll notice the graduate recognition is scheduled for next week, and we have some that week. We have two that you'll see are there we're going to recognize today because they can't be here next Sunday. So we're going to take care of that as well in the service. It's not printed. You won't know when I'll tell you to do it. So we'll be able to do that. The Washington UCC summer program is there if you're interested in that. There's two other things that Kyle's going to take care of for me. It's a little awkward for me to talk about Father's Day.
Okay, there we go.
You good?
Okay, so just kind of a reminder again that on Father's Day, on June 16th. I don't like getting dyslexic.
My surgery is the 18th.
Here's the problem, guys. With Pentecost, you know, we were May 19th, and then Father's Day is June 16th, so I'm getting dyslexic and getting my 16 and 19 mixed up, so that's why I keep flip-flopping on this. So I apologize on that. But there is a green slip of paper in there to RSVP for the luncheon for Pastor Marty's 40-year celebration. We are going to celebrate him during worship on that Sunday, and then gather in fellowship hall afterwards. So we did get a very good response last week, but if you have not put that in yet, and you're planning on attending, please just drop it in the offering plate this week so we know just if you're attending or not. The other update I have, we did have a very strong start to the Buildings and Grounds campaign last week. We did start off at about a little over $700. So just a reminder, this is something that, you know, it's not one-time giving, and then we are good to go. It's a kind of an ongoing process. So just kind of keep that in your prayers and your thoughts as you reflect on giving for the week. We do have envelopes in the bulletin again this week. So just keep that in your consideration for giving as we try to reach that $25,000 goal. So I believe that's all I have for now, Pastor Marty.
Thank you, Kyle. Are there any other announcements for the good of the community? Yes?
I just wanted to say Jisoo made it safely to the airport this morning. I got her there at about 4:30. She is on her way to Dallas and from there.
Great. She couldn't hear Jisoo. She took Jisoo to the airport?
Yes. Everything's good. She went to thank everyone.
But I wasn't awake yet. You were awake.
I was awake, yes. So. Yeah, she just had a week of parties and lunches and dinners, and
right. She
went to say thank you to everyone.
We appreciate that. Thank you very much. And if I remember her story, she's meeting some family at Dallas. This is the first time she's flown to Korea with other people. All the time she's gone back home to visit, it's by herself. So she's real excited to have some traveling companions on that long flight to Korea. Thank you. Any others? If not, let us open our minds and hearts in an attitude that allows God's Spirit to move among us as we prepare to worship God this day.
Thank you.
For those who are able, please stand and join with me in our call to worship this morning. The church's people are mortal and therefore weak compared to the mighty power of God. Our weakness is often revealed when we struggle with the problems of our world. But our weakness also demonstrates that it is God's power which makes us, who are weak, victorious. We commit ourselves to be instruments of God, that our weakness may reveal true victory in Jesus Christ. Let us worship the God who empowers us with the Holy Spirit. Please join with me in our prayer of invocation. O God, creator of light, we rejoice in the sunrise of each day, whether it is covered by clouds or brilliant with the colors of morning. We celebrate your glory revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. We live in the light of your spirit threads in our minds and hearts, thankful for new understanding of your purpose for us, for fresh courage to face problems. Cure us, healing Christ, on this and every day of rest, that being restored in body, mind, and spirit, may do what is good, learn what is helpful, and return to our daily work, invigorated and inspired. We praise you, light above us, light beside us, light within us, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Our first scripture reading for today is from the books of the law, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male or female slave, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Our second scripture reading for today is from the letters of Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Light will shine out of darkness," who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying around the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For we who are living are also being handed over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Gene, very much for sharing today. Appreciate that. Our gospel text, as you can see, is from the Gospel of Mark. It's the second chapter, beginning with verse 23, and it's going to go to the end of the chapter and into chapter 3, verse 6. Talking about what the Sabbath is, and then there's a story about a man with a withered hand. So hear these words from the Gospel of Mark. One Sabbath, he, speaking of Jesus, was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? How he entered the house of God when Abiathar was the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he gave some to his companions." And then he says to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." And again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. And they were watching him to see whether he could cure them on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he says to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." And then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger, and he was grieved at their hardness of heart. And he says to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. May God bless this reading, hearing, and understanding of the Holy Word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm guessing, I'm going to pick an arbitrary age. Any of us over the age of 50 will remember what Sundays used to be like? Families went to church. And afterwards, and we talked about this at the Upper Room Bible study the other day. And you went home for a traditional dinner, whether it was at your parents or your grandparents or someplace. It was a day that was different from all the other days. Very few stores were open, if any. I remember when my father was sick, I had to get to the pharmacy before 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, and it was closed. They had what they called, many states called, blue laws. We know what that is, that there was a lot of, that could regulate what could and could not be done on the Sabbath day. I was reading an article and I Googled some stuff. George Bass, a minister, who talked about what it was like in Pennsylvania when he was a boy. It reminded me when I was growing up in grade school in that little town in Indiana where my dad was pastoring. Said the movie theaters were not allowed to open on Sundays. There was no organized sports. Sales of beer and liquor, including wine with meals, were totally banned. And when I read that, I kept thinking of my neighbor who always went to the pony keg and got his 8-pack of beer before on Saturday night, so he'd have beer on Sunday. It was all about preserving the sanctity of the Sabbath. Okay? That's what was going on there. And so that's how we sort of moved into that. When I was looking at the gospel lesson, it was about a few things about how the Pharisees thought about what Sabbath was. There's the thing called the Mishnah. That's a commentary on the Hebrew scripture. It says there are 39 kinds of work that are forbidden to be done on the Sabbath. 39. Including reaping, grinding, and sifting, which is what the disciples did when they stripped the grain off the shaft. That's how they interpreted that. They were reaping, and then they ground it, and then they ate it. And so the Pharisees went after Jesus because of what his disciples had done. And then Jesus turns the table and he tells that story about King David, and he reminds that he broke the law for a higher purpose. And then he talks about the order, the proper order of things. And we hear that quote, "The Sabbath was made for humankind and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." And so this is, I think, the perspective we need to have about law, custom, and tradition. They're all important purposes and are not to be treated lightly. And Jesus didn't dismiss them on a whim, but they are not the ultimate. For Jesus, God was the ultimate. And so when you understand things that way, then everything sort of becomes a little bit clearer about how we understand what's going on here. Sabbath, now that I've researched a little bit since we had the Upper Room Bible study the other week, is grounded in, and the term I found was welfare of humanity. It's a thing to help us to get through life. It's God's day, and the proper use is determined by Christ. It said the Son of Man is the Lord, even of the Sabbath. The Sabbath cannot be seen in just do's and don'ts. Shoulds and should nots. You know, that's not the way it should be viewed. And I think in the early history of the church that there was a changeover that moved from what Sabbath was, the way we talked about it the other Saturday, to Sunday morning observance. They had to put an order to it. It's the human condition. We can't just let things go. And so first day worship, which is what we're doing now, first day worship is to commemorate Christ's resurrection. And I think some time ago, Vicki shared that with the children in a children's sermon about that's what Sundays are. A little Easter to be reminded. And we're definitely going to do it today as we do communion. But it's a way to be reminded through the year. And so today should be that way. And I think sometimes, and now in my seventh decade, and knowing and having experienced Blue Law, and hearing about it, sometimes I think we're wasting our breath and our time to talk about what was, and we should be talking about what is. What is Sabbath for us? What is this place for us? Why are we here in this place together? I think we don't need to protect Sunday, but we need to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what we've been called to do. And we worry about how we do that, and that we should be modeling. So when I was going through my file, I'm at the edge of the counter here. When I was going through the file, remember when we got faxes? I got this in 1997. It's talking about time. It talks about what we do. And it's on an average of what a person does in like 70 years of life. These are just average times. Sometimes we do more. But it talked about that we spend total 3 years in education. Okay, if you do it every day. So 3 years out of your life you spent being educated, maybe more if you got a master's degree or a doctorate, if you moved on, but it's about that time. We spend 8 years in amusement, whatever that is, going to King's Island, playing cards with your friends, on the golf course, going to a sporting event. We spend 6 years eating, right? Sometimes we don't even cook, right? We just go out and eat. But we spend 6 years of our 70 years on average eating. We spend 11 years working. We spend 3 years reading on average. I like the next one. 24 years sleeping. 5.5 years washing and dressing and getting ready. I think my wife took more than that, but that's okay. We spend 6 years walking. Even if you limp around like I do, we still spend 6 years of our life walking. In 70 years. 3 years in conversation. More if you're me, because I chat more. And the last one is the one that was the revelation. 6 months in church. We set aside a time that we think is important to be here. And we come on Sunday, which is our Sabbath. And we worship together. But Sabbath is really when you're in God's presence, or in Christ's presence, or you take time to be with the Spirit. Today is a day, Sunday is a day that we celebrate the little resurrections, but it's also a time to get re-strengthened from the week past and to get strengthened to move to the week ahead and to continue to take those moments. I don't know if I've had a 24-hour Sabbath in a long time, but I take a Sabbath somewhere in the middle of the day or at the end of the day. I did one this morning before I came here. I don't move real fast, so I sit a lot to keep my strength so I can move around when I'm with you. And so that's a little moment you spend with God. And do we take enough of that? And when we do that, what does God say to us? What does God say to you? And I bring those things up because, you know, Kyle's been up here and Laura talking about things that need to be done in the church, 5-year plan, raising money to fix the windows and the vents and whatever else needs to be done. Those are all things, the business part of the church. But we do that because we want a place to be. And so it's, why are we here? I think I shared this before, when the pandemic broke, I have a brother and sister, both younger. My sister didn't go back to sit in church like you're sitting right now for almost a year. She kept watching the videos online, wherever I was, and from St. Peter and St. Paul. My brother got coerced to come back to church because they needed him to sing in a quartet. And my sister says, but you went to church as soon as the pandemic lifted. I just needed to be sitting out there. And I went to churches where I could receive communion in an open, where they have open table. I need to be here. Pat Goyens called me after Betty died and says, I don't need to be here that Sunday morning. I says, yes, I do. It's important to gather and to understand why we're here. And it's Sabbath. So what is Sabbath for you? Just think about that as we journey through the rest of this time together. We're going to celebrate a couple graduates. We're going to take time to gather about the table. It is about being together in the presence of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'm going to ask you to turn to page number 695 in the hymn book, and we'll join together singing as we gather at your table. Thank you. You may be seated. As we come to God in prayer this day, are there joys and or concerns to be shared with this community of faith? We already heard about Jisoo. Are there any others? If not, we always have the listing in the bulletin for the prayer list, the homebound person of the week, the birthdays and anniversaries that are listed there. I would ask prayers again. I told you back in December when my cousin died because his son lives in Utah. So we did the service yesterday, celebration of life, out at Madeira Silverwood Presbyterian Church, where Bob was active in the scout program there when his son was young and lived out in that area. It was a great time to be together. And I'm going to do the burial tomorrow for the immediate family, so I ask prayers for that. I got a prayer from the Stan family, are asking prayers for Ellie Perkins. Ellie was supposed to graduate from Connor High School today, and Thursday she tried to commit suicide, and she's now in UC Medical Hospital. And so we ask prayers not only for the Perkins family, but also for all those young people and for the family as well. It is always difficult to comprehend something like that. And so we just pray. Can't make any observations, we just pray. We are gathered together, and the joy is we are together in this place. Together this day, we are going to honor some graduates, and we are going to gather about the table. And those are special times, so we celebrate as well. So let's continue to be in an attitude of prayer as we come before God. And as we do that, I'm going to ask you to take a breath and let it out. Breathe in, God. And breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. Almighty God, as we have gathered together this day, we thank you for this day. It's a Sunday. It's our Sabbath to worship. We have gathered to pray and to sing and to commune and to just be together in body and in spirit. We pray for your love that has come to us in a variety of ways. We thank you for the love that came to us in the person of Jesus the Christ, who came to save us. And so help us to continue to share that love with those who need to hear it, and that we can love one another and you, O God. We pray, O God, for faith, love, hope to abide within us. Those are the characteristics that we would love to have as we continue to strive to be your faithful disciples. So give us a sense of confidence and of faith. Grant us patience and endurance so that we can continue to move forward even when we feel rejected and even when we feel like we're not gaining any ground. Remind us that we have achieved great things. The very fact that we say Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior has given us something. And so we come here and honor and respect that statement of faith that we have made. So help us to show forth that love we have received. Help us to move forward and help others as we may in this world. Help us to reach out to those who especially need it, whether we can, it's a phone call, a text, a note, an email, but especially in prayer. I ask prayers for my cousin's wife and son as they grieve a loss of a loved one. We pray for the Perkins family and all those who are affected by Ellie's situation. We also pray for those who are celebrating special events. We pray for those who are blessed to be present in this space this day. We pray for those whose lives we have touched and who touch ours each and every day. And we thank you for the gift, the presence of your Son Jesus, who allows us to be and who walks with us every day and has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. In the bulletin, on the insert, I'm going to do this while I'm still sitting, is we have two graduates I've mentioned that a couple times that are not able to be with us next Sunday, but are with us today. So I'm going to call up Tanner Lawrence and Alyssa Jo Stamm to come forward. Don't be shy. Oh, Tanner's grinning so big. So turn around a second and face them. So you know what it's like to sit up here, okay? Tanner, as it reminds you, is graduating from Thomas More College, a bachelor's degree in business. He's continuing his education. He's going to pursue a master's degree, and he's the grandson of the proud Karen Kiefer, who's sitting back here. Alyssa Jo Stamm is graduating from Ludlow High School with a Distinguished Scholar Diploma with high honors. She's going to be attending Thomas More University, cheering for the Saints, and her proud grandparents are David and Diana Stamm sitting over here. They're beaming. These three people are beaming so big you can't believe it up here. So we have gifts from the church. I was reminded blue is for boys. That's it. Congratulations.
Thank
you. Congratulations.
How can we make sure that others will hear the good news that has meant so much to us? How will they learn to build their houses on rock, not on sand? Who will be present to help when the rains fall and the winds blow and people feel beaten and alone? The church is present as a visible embodiment of God's care. It is our thankful support that continues to make this possible. The ushers may now come forward.
In the bulb, there is a flower.
seed an apple tree, in cocoons a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be
Please join me in our prayer of dedication. Receive these gifts brought by your gathered people. Use these offerings and use us in the service of Christ Jesus, shedding light into darkened places, seeking justice in oppressive situations, proclaiming the gospel where its gift and freedom are in short supply, tending to the needs in this community for ministry and sanctuary and programs for young and old, that all may be done to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we're still standing and as I'm preparing the table, let us join together in affirming our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is sitting on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, one holy universal Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Beloved in Christ, the gospel tells us on the first day of the week, Jesus Christ was raised from death, appeared to Mary Magdalene, and was made known to two of the disciples in the breaking of the bread. This is a joyful feast to the people of God. Men and women, youth and children, gather from the east, the west, the north, and the south to gather about the table of the Lord. This table is for all who wish to receive the presence of Christ and to share in the community of God's people. Let us pray. We give you thanks, God of majesty and mercy, for calling forth the creation and raising us from dust by the breath of your being. We bless you for the beauty and the bounty of the earth and for its vision of the day when sharing by all will mean scarcity for none. We remember the covenant you made with your people Israel, and we give you thanks for all of our ancestors of the faith. We rejoice that you call us to reconciliation with you and all people everywhere, and that you remain faithful to your covenant even when we are faithless. We rejoice that you call the entire human family to this table of sacrifice and victory. We come in remembrance and celebration of the gift of Jesus Christ, whom you sent in the fullness of time, to be the good news, born of Mary, our sister in the faith. Christ lived among us to reveal the mystery of your word, to suffer and die upon the cross for us, to be raised from death on the third day, and then to live in glory. We bless you, O gracious God, for the presence of your Holy Spirit in the church you have gathered. With your sons and daughters of faith in all places and times, we praise you with joy. We remember on the night that Jesus sat with the disciples in that upper room, he took the bread. And after he gave the thanks to God, he broke it. He said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup. And after he had given thanks to God, he said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and many for the remission of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Eternal God, we unite in this covenant of faith, recalling Christ's suffering and death, rejoicing in Christ's resurrection, and awaiting Christ's return in victory. We spread your table with these gifts of the earth and of our labor. We present to you our very lives, committed to your service in behalf of all people. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon us and on this bread and cup, on our gifts and on us. Strengthen your universal church that it may be the champion of peace and justice in all the world. Restore this earth with your grace that it is able to make all things new. Be present with us as we share this meal and throughout all of our lives, that we may know you as the Holy One, and who with Christ and the Holy Spirit lives forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God. For the people of God, all things are now ready. Thank you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Take and eat. This cup is a new covenant given to us by Jesus Christ that we might have the gift of forgiveness and life eternal. My friends, take and drink. I'm going to ask those who are able to please stand and let us join together in our prayer of thanksgiving. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the gift of our Savior's presence. In simplicity and splendor of this holy meal, unite us with all who are fed by Christ's body and blood, that we may faithfully proclaim the good news of your love, and that your universal church may be a beacon of hope in an uncertain world. Through Jesus Christ, in whose name we rejoice to pray. Amen. Today we were challenged to think about what is Sabbath. What is that time when you are with God? Whether it's with people or whether you're alone, it's a time of rest, a time of communion with God, a sense of knowing. Find your Sabbath. Allow God to move you in your world. Share the good news with others that they too may come to understand what Sabbath is. Until we meet again, let us go in the name of God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us go in peace. Amen.